Hi everyone, it's Mary with Tyler. This week I have a special guest, a local Midwestern special guest, Carson B. Heady, H-E-A-D-Y. And we are really excited about talking to Carson because, first of all, he's an author, he's a sales leader, he's in the trenches doing the do. So it's not like somebody sitting behind a desk pontificating theory. He's in there actually digging in the dirt and making sure that sales are happening. The reason why we asked him to come on our show is because he's also really diving into it and becoming quite expert at social selling and its evolution. And you know, for us prospecting, we are these habit machines where we're really trying to block out times to do single tasks. Like I keep telling you guys, we want to be on the phone and do that in a block of time and then do email. But a lot of times we can hear our LinkedIn and our social things going off. So how do we integrate that? Well, Carson is going to talk to us today about best practices around social selling, but specifically the prospecting side of things. And he may take it further into the pipeline because he can go all the way to close. But let's start at the top of funnel, if you don't mind, Carson, and give us some background as to what's happened since you've been in this space, which is, you said, like 20 years now. And how is social starting to bubble up to something that we want to really pay attention to for prospecting?
First off, Mary Lou, thank you so much for your time. I know the illustrious guests that you've had in the past, so I can only hope to hold a candle to some of them with the content that we shared today. I love the topic. You know, this is something, and I know we chatted briefly about this as well, is that, you know, sales has evolved so substantially over the last, you know, few decades. There are some very traditional methods that I think still hold a lot of merit. You know, it's still very much a relationships game, but social selling is something that not only will enable us to begin new relationships and broker those new conversations, but it's also a great way to stay top of mind with clients, both from a pre-sales and post-sales standpoint. So, I'll compare and contrast, you know, my early days in sales to nowadays. You know, I remember when some of these platforms first emerged, when you first got that request on some of these platforms like LinkedIn, and you were like, what is this exactly? And, I started following some people and seeing different posts and platforms of this ilk really caught on, specifically in recent years, with just the different ways that they integrate in with different platforms. A lot of us will log in the beginning of the day and share out or schedule out messaging to go out throughout the day. And there's several different platforms that we can do that on. And, you know, what I've definitely seen over the last few years is that, you know, with these platforms, it enables you to geo-target and, find by geography, find by title, look for specific companies, look for specific titles within the organization, different departments, different divisions. And it will also keep you updated when these people are movers and shakers and they're making changes in their career. So it's giving you every bit of information that you need at your fingertips in order to really keep at the pulse of what's going on, not only with your contacts, but also with new potential contacts with different industries, et cetera. You can take it so far as to, follow individual companies and, really find the types of prospects that you want to be able to talk to. And, you know, we could wax poetic forever about the different types of messaging that you can use to get the best responses. But, you know, at the end of the day, social selling really enables you to enhance your probability of success. And that's really what sales is all about. You know, we ultimately are on a quest to have our potential end user or client make a decision based on the information that we're able to provide that meets any gaps that they may have in their current process. So we in counter to that, we'll build our own process and present information and facts and statistics and solutions ultimately in order to help them make that decision. Social selling can really help grease the wheel when it comes to getting in front of new people and then also staying top of mind, because once you're connected to them or they're seeing your posts or you're able to send them articles that maybe hark back to conversations that you've had, it enables you to very passively occasionally, stay in front of them so that you don't have to be super aggressive and keep revisiting that follow-up as you move toward the close. But then furthermore, from a post-sale standpoint, it enables you to continue that relationship, keep tabs with what they're doing, and also reach out very easily. And again, sometimes very passively so that you can continue the conversation. So I've seen social selling evolve substantially over the last several years, as I'm sure you have. But I believe that it is a great medium when it comes to continuing to perfect your craft from a sales perspective.
Now, some of the things that I want to ask you are around the ability to, the fact that we do have these first level connections, say on LinkedIn. And what is the, I guess, I don't want to, ethical is not the right word, but what is the best practice around touching these people? I've been told a number of different things. What feels right for me, Mary Lou Tyler, is to do more permission-based touches, help-based touches, and really only very soft asks in the form of, hey, get back to me if you want to know more and I'll send you a link, as opposed to sending them a link. Are there some guidelines around that that you want to share with the audience? Especially top of funnel, this is this kind of starting conversations with people we don't know side of things.
Sure. I would agree with you, Mary Lou. You know, I think it's very important that you're cognizant that while this is a platform where you can make these connections, that you also want to display some etiquette. And, you know, there's a lot of articles that are out there as far as etiquette to utilize on social media platforms, including LinkedIn. And I agree. I think it's important to be succinct and to state the desired value that you want to bring. I'm sure you and I have both seen a tremendous amount of these initial requests where, you know, maybe somebody is very opportunistic and sends you a laundry list of different types of things that they could do for you or want to do for you. And, you know, I think that a lot of times we may be dismissive of that. I think it's a reaction or reflex that we may have. And so I think it's important, especially as sellers, that we are cognizant of the golden rule, you know, treating others as we would like to be treated on these platforms. What kind of messaging would work effectively for you or what has worked well? And I think it comes down to the same fundamentals that govern our sales processes, adding value. If I believe that I can add value for a potential connection, wherever that may fit, whether it's my day job, whether it's my kind of my side hustle, as I call it, where I write these books. Obviously, I haven't sold enough to retire, but it's a fun endeavor for me, and I've met a lot of wonderful people. It's, you know, I think we're looking to add value. And so intrinsically, how can I add value for this potential contact? I would never want to reach out to anyone unless I felt that I could add value for them. So I agree with you. I think it's imperative that when we're reaching out, we're giving perhaps a brief explanation as to why we're connecting, even if it is basic as, you know, hey, based on our mutual interests or mutual groups, I felt that you'd be a great person with whom to share ideas or that I could learn from, and I'd be honored to be connected with you. Would love to have a conversation if it's of interest. You know, something even that basic can garner quite a response. And I think that it can lead to some wonderful conversations. And I think, I liken this actually to dating as well, even though it's been quite a long time since I've done that. It's you don't want to seem too opportunistic. You know, let's say you make a new friend on one of these platforms. The last thing you want to do is jump right in the second that they accept and send them this multi-paragraph litany on what your product or service can do for them. In fact, exactly what you want to do. And I don't care if you're trying to sell a product or service or if you're looking for a job or whatever it is, the best approach is really to propose a meeting around where you may be able to add value for them. Perhaps you have some suggestions, some brief ones, but you know, I also find it important to make that personal connection. You know, you and I were talking about this briefly before as well. You know, there's a lot of times where, especially if we're sending this copy paste form, you can come off like you are you're not a real person in this day and age. And I think that it's important that you have a personal touch and that you don't just send some copy paste. Make reference to something that you saw on their profile. Maybe you went to the same school. Maybe you are in a similar group or you know, you have similar interests, and perhaps you ask them about their current role or there's something you'd like to know more about what they're doing. I think those are the types of inroads that you're looking to make. in fact, even if I'm looking to sell into a different vertical or to a new client where maybe I have some experience in that vertical before, I may send them a note and say, hey, you know, I've spent a little bit of time selling into manufacturing or into retail or into healthcare or whatever it is. I'd love to just have a conversation and get some advice or your feedback on where this vertical is heading from a technology standpoint or, you know, whatever your vertical is. And, you know, just having those types of conversations, same thing with asking for a job. I mean, if you're looking for a job and you're trying to meet a hiring manager, it's great to even just send them a note. Hey, I'm looking to parlay my experience into your industry or into what your division does. Would love to just have a conversation as far as where you think my skill set may land best. You're really looking to sell a conversation up front. So don't put the cart before the horse. Don't try to sell your product because you haven't developed any type of rapport whatsoever. Sell a conversation around the value that you believe you can add to that initial conversation. And that's the first step in the sales chain.
Exactly. I remember I sent out, we talked about this, an email. It was a little note to my first level. And I found, I think it was 100 different ways to say the word opinion, because I want people's opinion, you know, for something. So I just changed that word up. And it was interesting to see the results. Some people laugh, like, why did you use that word? You know, so, but it was really fun to get creative in that sense, too, and try to reword things in a way that is meaningful for them. And as you said before, the tools now that are available, even on platforms such as LinkedIn, allow you to geo-target. You can get really specific. I'm doing a seminar here in Des Moines. So I'm searching on the people in Des Moines who are in my first level, and I'm going to send them a little note, first level note saying, hey, I'm your neighbor in Des Moines. I'm doing this workshop. If you're interested, hit me back and let's see if we can get you signed up for that if it's something of interest. I'm going to be talking about these topics. So I'm constantly polling my audience to get their opinions on things. And it's engaging. People, so many people want to help. That's what's amazing to me, is that of the 100 I send, you know, I have great response. And maybe, yes, there's a couple sour apples here and there. So I gently remove them from my connection, you know, because they didn't, even though they connected to me, they obviously don't really want to hear from me. So then I have the option of saying, you know, if it's not a good time, great, let's not converse then any further than we just did now. So I like that part of it, and it allows us to do what you and I talked about, which is imparting the learning and the knowledge and really finding out what ails the population of people who connected with you or you connecting with. What's a nuisance? What's the challenge? What's the hot topic right now? And as a writer, and you are, obviously you've got, what, 268 articles on LinkedIn or some huge number, you know, you're constantly looking for a good content that will resonate and that will be impactful for them. So social is a great way to do that. And they get to see a little bit of your personality as well, which I think is great.
And I think it gives you the chance to mix it up too, Mary Lou. You know, I like your, I think that's brilliant as far as you're changing the wording a little bit on the word opinion. I'd love to see the statistics as far as, you know, the response rates. And I think, hey, there's so much stuff you can do to really analyze. Because at the end of the day, I mean, really what we're trying to do is enhance the probability of success of each leg of the selling process. You know, prospecting inherently has a success rate, right? You know, I've worked in divisions where, you know, back in the day, I managed a call center group where we called on different types of leads. And I spent a lot of time analyzing, you know, which leads had the highest propensity for the customer to even pick up. And, you know, so I think there's a lot of different, you know, analysis that we could do specifically around, you know, that type of experimentation. Social selling allows you to do a lot of different types of experimentation, from the way that you target all the way to the messaging that you send. And I've evolved my messaging many times over the last several years. You know, I found myself in a predicament years ago where, you know, I was laid off and I was looking at how to land a job. I never thought I'd have to look for one in my life. And going traditionally and applying to these search engine type jobs online was not getting me, you know, interviews. So I had to teach myself how to use social selling 8 years ago whenever I was looking for a new role. And, you know, those practices have evolved, but The fundamentals stay the same. And again, to your point, you know, we're always looking for what's the most effective messaging to land? Who are the types of people that we want to talk to? What are the best ways to be approaching them? And then, you know, when you're looking at a different project or, you know, I've used this in different roles, different jobs that I've had, ways to stay top of mind with not only my customers, but also my employees, and just different ways that you can share content, whether it's out on LinkedIn or whether it's in groups or whether it's on Twitter or just different platforms. There's so many different ways that you can engage people. And the beauty of it is there's no silver bullet. There's no one way that's necessarily right or wrong. There's a lot of different ways that we can utilize these methods and mechanisms to enhance our chance at success. You know, one thing that I've taken from your message is the fact that we want to take the cold out of prospecting. We want to take the cold out of cold calling. And these tools can make the prospecting and that quote unquote cold call a lot warmer, because we can find ways to introduce ourselves in a relatively passive way where we're not calling them and forcing them into a conversation necessarily that they don't want to be in right at that moment. But this will allow us to reach out to them, state very quickly how we think we can add value, try to sell that initial conversation, and then as I'm scrolling through my feed on a daily basis, and I think here's one last point that I want to make on that part of it, mm-hmm. is that a lot of people think that this is a process where, oh man, if I want to add social selling to my repertoire, like I'm already so busy. I'm working 8, 10, 14 hour days. I don't have time to do anything else. I think people would be shocked if they knew that I literally probably spend 5, maybe 10, maybe 15 minutes at most per day on social selling. I've found tools that have enabled me to load my deck where it, you know, there are messages going out throughout the day, and then it's just literally maintenance from that point. But as I'm scrolling through my feed, I can see articles that may hark back to a conversation that I had with a client or a partner or a business associate, whomever that I worked, you know, had last week. And as I see that article, I can send it direct to the person and say, hey, you know, this made me think of our conversation. What are your thoughts on this article? Or what do you think about these trends that have been pointed out about what's transpiring in your industry? And it's a really great passive way to not only show the customer that you were thinking of them and that they were top of mind, but you could stay top of mind, because marketing statistics will tell you you've got to have several touches before you ultimately get to the sale. Things like that will jog their memory that they may owe you a response, and it will keep you moving in the right direction with some momentum toward the close. So I think these tools are tremendous, and they're a great job. They do a great job of helping you enhance your chance at success, but also making that relationship a little bit warmer.
And as you mentioned, you know, it's a matter of stacking these tiny habits of 5 minutes. Just start with 5 minutes of social a day. I used to teach in our classes prior to, you know, the tools that they have. By the way, everyone listening who heard, I know they're piqued, like, okay, what are the tools that Carson uses? So we'll be sure to put that in the show notes, because that was like my kind of, well, I got to find out what he's using, because I have tool stack people. And I just love looking at the different applications that are available. So we'll put that on the show notes for Carson's page. So don't worry about that. But what I was going to say was, I first started teaching what's called first and 10, which I borrowed from real estate, which is when you come in the office in the morning, maybe you get your coffee, you sit down, and you just reach out to 10 people. And it should take no longer than 5 to 10 minutes. If you do that every day, and you consistently 22 business days a month, you are now reaching out to 10 times 22 is 220 more people in a month. It adds up. And all we're asking you is to stack this little tiny habit called social selling in with your daily routine, and put it with a habit that's a good habit. So you'll reward yourself in your brain. Oh, I got coffee. Great. I can do my first and 10 now. And it starts to become habitual, which is really what we need to do to embrace adding new habits like this to our schedules. I was with you guys on social. I was resisting because it just, you know, I'm doing cold calling, I'm doing my email, I even do direct mail in my world. So, and then I write. There's a lot of stuff going on. How could I possibly add yet another lever? But I found a way to do it, and I started very small. And now I'm loving it because I'm getting all these great conversations going with people who need and want what I have to offer. It's just a really wonderful experience. And I'm sure, Carson, you've been keeping up that, you know, that rhythm on a daily basis, or maybe it's a couple times a week if you're doing all sales roles and not just prospecting. But, you know, there's a rhythm in there that you've got to keep up in order to be able to start seeing results with social. Would you agree with that, Carson?
I really do. It's amazing the world that it can open up to you. You know, and I think it's important to point out that social selling by no means will replace any of the components of your process. Because here's the thing. Yes, I will use, social selling to meet folks. I will use email. But really, at the end of the day, nothing compares to getting out there face to face or on the phone if you need to. Pick up the phone and call. But I think that the social selling will open doors that you could have never found otherwise. I've had, within roles that I've had in the past, you know, I've had reports where, maybe a prospect showed up and I was able to go straight out to a social platform, find the business, find people that worked there, send them requests of some sort, trying to sell that initial meeting. I tried to exercise strength in numbers, maybe reached out to 10, 15, 20 people that I thought it would be valuable to have a relationship with there, 5, 10, maybe accepted. And then I started having conversations and they would point me toward the ultimate decision maker. And I got in there and was able to ultimately work toward crafting deals that would have never existed without social selling. But today, those relationships take place mostly in person or over the phone. So social selling can get you in the door. It's also a great way to continue to share content. But yes, Mary Lou, to your point, this is something where you spend a few minutes a day, or maybe something sparks attention where, hey, I'd like to find this prospect. And you go out and you spend a few minutes looking, plant those seeds, and they will pay dividends. You know, I opened my LinkedIn and Twitter accounts probably 10 plus years ago, and I've got over 330,000 followers between the two platforms. So it's something that has taken a long time to really craft and cultivate, but the relationships that I've been able to make with people all across the world have been unbelievable.
Yeah, that's a great story. And it's like a friend of mine had a company called Pebble Storm. You put a pebble in the water and then the waves just keep getting larger and larger and larger. And it's the consistency of habit that will get you there. And the other thing too, going back to my experience, I crafted a message. I changed the one word. I tried, every time I sent something, I tried to shorten it, make it more succinct, make it more specific, till I got to a point where no one asked me, hey, are you a bot, sending this thing out? They really think it's geared towards them. So this is another way for those of you who are tinkerers like me to really fine tune your message and get an understanding of what's working and what's not. As you're crafting your message for social, the stuff that works is great to then transfer over to your email engines and put into your sequences. So, there's just an abundance of upside in order to be able to take 5 to 10 minutes. And maybe you do it, at the end of the day or when you're not in your productive prospecting times to put this little task in there. But be consistent and try to do it actually at the same time for a while until you start realizing, just like we did with the phone, best time to call, just like we did with the email, best time to email. We want to know the best time to social, because then we want to make sure people are there. So when they respond to us, we can respond right back.
Couldn't agree more. Consistency is key with anything. You're not going to have consistent results without consistent application of process. And again, you're looking to assimilate this platform, which is obviously has many merits, and you're really just looking to assimilate it into your evolving sales process. And if you do it and you do it effectively and you continue to evolve as you perfect your craft, you will find success because of social selling.
So, Carson, we're nearing the end of our interview time, which is very sad. What is the best way for people who have now got the social bug and they think, all right, I'm going to start this? What do you recommend where should they go? Is there a place that you write regularly that they can learn more? Or how would you, if you were instructing, since you're a sales manager, if you're instructing your folks, okay, we're going to start learning social, what would you say to them to get started?
Really, and I'm in a unique situation because I work for Microsoft. Obviously, we purchased LinkedIn, so I cannot endorse one platform over another, but I will tell you that, you know, obviously we've talked about a few different tools, and mm-hmm. you can always go out to the web and research different tools that are available to, number one, schedule tweets or schedule posts. You know, I use personally one called Crowdfire, and I like it because it integrates into several different, several different platforms that will enable you to share content. It also cultivates content, so it will find some of the things that my follow, you know, my people that I'm following are sharing, mm-hmm. so things that are of interest. And so there's a lot of really good articles in there. It will show you people that are following people that you follow, so that it's, you know, probably very similar connections in nature. So I like tools of that stature, but, you know, we've hit on a few of the good tools. I think the key is to find a small group of tools that you find that are successful and bringing you what you're looking to achieve from a social selling platform. Because there's other tools that I've used in other roles where, you know, it may be a mechanism that would show me the size of companies, you know, mechanisms that would show me who the stakeholders were at companies, and they weren't necessarily tools that were mentioned on this call. So I would do some active web searches to yield what specifically you're looking for, and just know that the tools are definitely out there. But when it comes to scheduling your posts throughout the day, there are several platforms that you can choose from. Like I said, I use Crowdfire, not an endorsement, but it's a great tool that I've used, and I've used a few others over the years. So I would love to hear other people's thoughts as well. I mean, I can be found on LinkedIn, and always up for a dialogue around social selling. Very passionate about it and about selling. And so I would love to hear what other tools folks are using. But I think at the end of the day, we're always looking for what's the most optimum way to integrate these types of tools into our acumen and continue to evolve that craft. How can we use them to be more effective? So I think with that in mind, those are the types of things we want to think about as we look to find the platforms that we're going to use and to integrate into our process.
And in response to, you know, the people, the roles, where to start, for the prospectors who are listening, we're going to think about that bullseye that we talk about of the decision maker in the center, the direct influencers of that decision maker in the next ring out, and then the indirect people, the ring out from that. So it really depends on the goal that you're setting for that call to action. Is it to get your foot in the door? Is it to get your toe in the door? Is it to get that first meeting? Is it to start qualifying because you've met some people and you need to get the rest of the team figured out before you can actually do the qualification? So begin with the end in mind of what your goal is, and then from there, you'll be able to do your searches on the type of person with whom you want to have that conversation. Like, I have multiple spheres of influence in my world. So I talk to different people, marketing people, sales ops people, CEOs and leaders. I have them all in different areas because the dialogue is different. The stuff they like to consume is different. How they like to consume it is different. And so I keep track of all of that in these tools. And it's just a wonderful way to share what you know, to learn from others, to impart knowledge to people, and it just goodwill all around social selling.
Agreed. Yeah, cast a wide net. You know, I mean, you may have your hopes set on meeting the VP of sales or the CEO or the CFO or the CIO, and you know, but they may not be responsive. So, you know, connect with other folks that may be connected with them, that, you know, could be part of the decision, or that maybe you could have a great conversation with that could say, hey, you need to talk to this person. And they're the ones who make a warm introduction into that person that you ultimately want to connect with. So think about that as you're prospecting, because really you're trying to sell the meeting and you're trying to sell getting to the right place before you can sell any type of product or service. So I think these types of platforms give you a tremendous, you know, ability to start that pursuit, and you know, you can make some great relationships along the way.
So we know how to find you, Carson V. Heady, H-E-A-D-Y, on LinkedIn. Are there and Amazon? You have a book which we didn't even get to talk about, but there's a book out there, a novel. And are there any more books that you've written since that one? Or
yeah, so Birth of a Salesman was my first little foray into writing, and that was in 2010. And then I've written two sequels, but I actually re-released the entire anthology last year on an ebook platform. It was The Salesman Against the World is the second one, and A Salesman Forever was the third. And basically what it is, it's a sales book inside of a novel about a fictional character who is the quote unquote fictional author of that sales book. So it goes back and forth between being chapters of a sales book, but it then flips back to the protagonist and how he learned the lessons that he writes about.
That sounds great. I love books like that because it's a real life lesson, but it's embedded in a novel and a good juicy story that's going to keep you reading through it. So instead of like the books that I write are very, you have to really be concentrating when you're reading about sales process. If I would have embedded it in a story, I think it probably would have been an easier read. So yes, so go on Amazon and look for Carson's books there, LinkedIn. And then I'll put all these different links in the show notes so that you guys can, to your heart's content, study tools. Carson, thank you so much for visiting us today. We enjoyed the conversation.
Mary Lou, the pleasure was all mine. Thank you for having me. It was absolutely a thrill to talk to you about these fantastic topics.